They disputed and disputed, and I was the very center of subject of it all, and I wished my mother could know that this grand honor had come to me. It would have made her proud. Then they discussed optics, as they called it, and whether a certain injury to the brain would produce blindness or not. But they could not agree about it, and said they must test it by experiment by and by. And next they discussed plants, and that interested me, because in the summer Sadie and I had planted seeds. I helped her dig the holes, you know, and after days and days a little shrub or a flower came up there, and it was a wonder how that could happen. But it did, and I wished I could talk. I would have told those people about it, and shown them how much I knew, and been all alive with the subject, but I didn't care for the optics. It was dull, and when they came back to it again, it bored me, and I went to sleep. Pretty soon it was spring, and sunny, and pleasant, and lovely, and the sweet mother and the children patted me and the puppy goodbye, and went away on a journey and a visit to their kin, and the master wasn't any company for us, but we played together and had good times, and the servants were kind and friendly, so we got along quite happily and counted the days and waited for the family. And one day those men came again and said, "Now for the test," and they took the puppy to the laboratory, and I limped three-leggedly along too, feeling proud, for any attention shown to the puppy was a pleasure to me, of course. They discussed and experimented, and then suddenly the puppy shrieked, and they set him on the floor, and he went staggering around with his head all bloody, and the master clapped his hands and shouted, "There, I've won! Confess it! He's as blind as a bat!" And they all said, "It's so, you've proved your theory, and suffering humanity owes you a great debt from henceforth." And they crowded around him, and wrung his hand cordially and thankfully, and praised him. But I hardly saw or heard these things, for I ran at once to my little darling, and snuggled close to it where it lay, and licked the blood, and it put its head against mine, whimpering softly, and I knew in my heart it was a comfort to it in its pain, and trouble to feel its mother's touch, though it could not see me. Then it dropped down presently, and its little velvet nose rested upon the floor, and it was still, and did not move any more. Soon the master stopped discussing a moment, and rang in the footmen, and said, "Bury it in the far corner of the garden," and then went on with the discussion, and I trotted after the footman, very happy and grateful, for I knew the puppy was out of its pain now, because it was asleep. We went far down the garden to the farthest end, where the children and the nurse and the puppy and I used to play in the summer in the shade of a great elm, and there the footman dug a hole, and I saw he was going to plant the puppy, and I was glad, because it would grow and come up a fine, handsome dog like Robin Adair, and be a beautiful surprise for the family when they came home. So I tried to help him dig, but my lame leg was no good, being stiff, you know, and you have to have two, or it's no use. When the footman had finished and covered little Robin up, he patted my head, and there were tears in his eyes, and he said, "Poor little doggie, you saved his child. I have watched 2 whole weeks, and he doesn't come up. This last week, a fright has been stealing upon me." I think there is something terrible about this. I do not know what it is, but the fear makes me sick, and I cannot eat, though the servants bring me the best of food. And they pet me so, and even come in the night and cry and say, "Poor doggie, do give it up and come home. Don't break our hearts." And all this terrifies me the more, and makes me sure something has happened. And I am so weak. Since yesterday I cannot stand on my feet any more. And within this hour the servants, looking toward the sun, where it was sinking out of sight, and the night chill coming on, said things I could not understand, but they carried something cold to my heart. Those poor creatures, they do not suspect. They will come home in the morning, and eagerly ask for the little doggy that did the brave deed, and who of us will be strong enough to say the truth to them? The humble little friend is gone where go the beasts that perish. End of chapter 3. End of A Dog's Tale by Mark Twain.